7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy Anelli here with you with another amazing Croc podcast for the most amazing people in the entire universe, our cancer survivors slash thrivers. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin, on the other side of the computer glass. Angel, today you got to do a lot of heavy lifting, baby.
Listen, and not only that, it is a Monday. Happy Monday to you, my friend.
You know, I appreciate everybody's patience. I was in a groove yesterday. I was getting a lot of stuff done, and I said to Angel, Angel, you think our Croc Nation would be mad if we were one day late this week? And he said, you know what, E? Not a problem. And I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. So we're here rocking and rolling. It's a beautiful day. It may be raining, but it feels like it's sunshine has lit the universe once we're on the air.
Yep. So tomorrow is going to be, I want to say, December 11th. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I was thinking, you know, we try to do some themed, podcasts. We try to put a few together and do little modules and things. And I thought this is the time of the year, right? The most enjoyable and joyous part of the year, whether you happen to have a Christian faith or not. I think everybody would agree that there's something a little magical about this time of the year. Hanukkah just started the other day. I guess we have Kwanzaa coming up around the corner. And we have Christmas in literally... it'll be 2 weeks from today. Yes. So what I thought we would do is put maybe a 3-podcast module about feelings, about different sorts of feelings that our cancer survivor thrivers have. And some of them are good. Some of them aren't good. And maybe we can sort of transition from the not so good feelings to some of the better feelings that can actually be curative and healing and promote wellness and promote better outcomes. So for those of you who don't know, and I believe most of you do know, Angel and I work at a very wonderful medical center called Garnet Medical Center in Middletown, New York. I think it would be safe for me to say on behalf of Angel, we're both very happy and lucky to be there, to have jobs and to be in a family. Now, certainly things have changed over the last 30 something years, you know, in the old Horton Hospital up on the hill, that was truly like a family, but you know, in this day and age, things are different. But even with the more corporate attitude and the whole thing, I still have the feeling or get the feeling that we still try to retain that family atmosphere. And I think you would agree.
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. And, you know, like any families, there's things that are good and there's things that are bad. And one of the things that definitely soil my day is there's a process that happens in our hospital, which I'm sure happens in every hospital, where things could become ugly and escalate. And there might be an encounter between a patient and the medical team. There might be a situation between a patient's family and the medical team, or between God knows what. And, and sometimes things get to a point where they become very uncomfortable, in which case we need to lean on Angel and the switchboard, the wonderful people at the switchboard. And sadly, many times a day, we hear what's called a code gray. So Angel, I wanted to be, you know, because we're going to sort of use Code Gray is a foundation of this podcast for our cancer survivor thrivers and some of the feelings that go behind those incidences where there becomes, so I don't want to go as far as saying that every single Code Gray is a violent situation, but certainly it could be a problem.
No. And you know, the thing about it that, you know, when you hear the word Code Gray, it doesn't necessarily mean violence. It just means that at that point in time, whatever is occurring shows or could give you the indication that it could turn into the next level of, you know, verbal aggression or possible violence. So it's really more of a, you know, it could be the good, bad, and ugly of Code Gray.
And what is your general, you know, out of the Code Grays, I think you would agree. And again, we're not talking about the survivor thriver yet. We'll get there in a second, but you know, just in your, because you speak to the people that are really in the trenches, You know, they reach out to you for help. You know, I know it makes me uncomfortable. It must make you feel even doubly uncomfortable. It puts a lot of responsibility on you. And, you know, let's face it, maybe I'm being a little too optimistic or have my rose-colored glasses on. But, you know, we would all love to live in Shangri-La where everybody loves everybody, to quote Jackie Moon in Semi-Pro. You know, but what's your feelings of the Code Gray experience?
I mean, I think a lot of it, you know, deals with communication. You know, a lot of times patients and families do not understand, you know, behind the curtain of what we know. You know, things take time. Reports take time. Doctors are not always living inside the hospital, although a lot of you will probably disagree with that because you pretty much live in the hospital. But when it comes to certain patients, you know, they're not just the only patient. And I think it's just dealing with that communication aspect of knowing, you know, that you're not being put aside. You just have to wait sometimes. And I think that we're living in a culture now where instant gratification is a huge factor. And I think a lot of people, and this is, you know, in the hospital, this could be anywhere in the world. They want things right now. And I think a lot of that you contribute to the internet and the online version, because, you know, you can click a button and your package is there probably within, you know, the next 24 hours. But when you're sick and you're feeling better or vice versa, you put yourself in a position to want to know and need to know, you know, information that may not be available to you at that moment in time. So that can cause escalation. And I think that's where the majority of our Code Grays factor from.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So Angel, you are my inspiration behind this podcast, you know, Litany, these three podcasts, this little module, because I hear you and, you know, and I hear the responsibility you have, and I feel the bad feelings about these Code Grays. And then I thought about it and I said, well, how does Code Gray, what can we glean for our cancer survivor thrivers? What is there here that we could do a deep dive and try to give them some insight? And then I kind of did some research on the internet, and I found a wonderful practitioner. Her name is Phoebe Starr, S-T-A-R-R. And she does these blogs or maybe even articles for the Oncology Nurse. I just noticed it online. It may be a journal. Phoebe, I apologize. I don't know the full extent of your writing, but it was enough to inspire me. And we never take credit for ideas that are not ours. So I want to give credit to Phoebe. And I think where I want to go with this over the next 3 weeks, over this holiday season, is start with anger and cancer, and then kind of sort of move toward acceptance, and then bring us to kindness. And and if you remember the article from Len Berry and Raina Audish and Ed Al that we investigated about kindness in medicine, and we did a module on that, I think that's eventually where we want to be. We want to get to the point where we can help our survivor thrivers go through the process of anger, acceptance, and get to kindness, because it has been documented in peer review articles and in the journals that, you know, kindness does improve outcomes. And what more do we want for our cancer survivor thrivers than to have the best outcomes that they can have?
Naturally, I totally agree.
So anger, Angel, as we know, is a basic human emotion. It's a natural response to stress. We all have it. We all exhibit it. And I just wanted to take this moment to really recognize our survivor thrivers, because, you know, we take it for granted, you know, every day, you know, we're not in crisis and we still get angry. And I think that even as cancer caregivers, what's really remarkable is that the amount of anger we get from our cancer survivor thrivers, at least in my practice, is a very, very, very small amount. And it's shocking, because it probably should be like every single patient should come in with a little attitude and come in with a little bit of a, you know, a little hostility, a little being pissed off. And I get that. And as cancer caregivers, we must not only be aware of the possibility of our survivor thrivers having anger, we should actually expect it. And as a matter of fact, all of us, you know, we see such terrible stories every day in our cancer clinics. It's really a shock. that we don't see it more often. So that's a kudos, you know, to the braveness and, you know, courageousness, not a word we make them up, of our survivors. And I really do appreciate them. So let's take a deep dive into anger and cancer. So cancer diagnosis is associated with loss. Then there's many types of loss. There's perhaps even the loss of body parts, not to, you know, get grotesque, but mastectomies and prostatectomies. And then there's the deliberate, you know, demolition of body function, erectile dysfunction, difficulty swallowing, can't walk, you know, you have a foot drop, all these things where we take the normal functioning of our body, we take it for granted. We get thrown off of our day-to-day routines. You know, Angel, we both know we have to wake up in the morning and go to work, but what if we couldn't go to work because we had doctor's appointments or had to go to radiation or go to chemotherapy or have a CAT scan, and we had to go to work late, and we had to get a note, and we had to get documentation, and had to go to HR, and then we go to work and we're 3 hours behind, but everybody still expects the same from us. I mean, these are real case scenarios. And in addition, especially during the process, when you're going through your active treatment, you're in pain and you're suffering side effects. And even after treatment, you might be in pain and have side effects. So it really doesn't take much. And Angel, I appreciate you alluding to this in your little opening statement. It doesn't take much to light that fuse, that trigger. And I think you probably see it up close and personal 80 times a day. Whatever that trigger can be, it could be small, it could be not noteworthy, it could be just something that if it wasn't for everything else coming together, it creates a perfect storm, a powder keg ready to explode. You mentioned it, and then you took away my thunder, but being kept waiting for an appointment just 1 minute too much, or just having your practitioner a little snide remark, you know, hey, you put on some weight there, or hey, you know, what's going on? You know, just or something, or you're listening to the nurses laugh about they have a party later that night, or they have something going on, or they're hungover from the weekend. And it's like, well, I'm glad you guys are enjoying your life because I ain't. Hello, I'm right here. And it might just take that little tiny attitude, that little snide remark, that little being kept waiting just a little bit too long. And then all of a sudden, boom, you would agree.
Absolutely. And you know what? You know, it's funny you say that I stole your thunder, but what's great about this show is that I didn't really know what we were going to talk about till the last 5 minutes. So it's a great example of how both of us have the same scenario. It's the same situation. So we really have to emphasize the fact that that is the key factor, is that I think we can all relate to this topic.
100%. And that's what motivated me to try to extend it to our survivor thrivers. So we call this part of the process the straw that breaks the camel's back, right? It's just whatever it is, you break and then you're broke and now you go into anger mode. So we have a few steps that we could do as caretakers, as family members, as even as observers in the hospital, how we could try to head off these blowups. And the first thing we could do is we could try to recognize it before it happens. And Angel, you said exactly the same thing when you started. These are the nonverbal cues. So we have to be very, very aware. Now, Angel, you're a switchboard, so you don't see facial expressions, but man, I bet you are an expert at listening to someone's tone, the tone of their voice. I'm sure you can hear, I mean, to a point of such, you must be like a PhD in like tonal, you know, alliteration, knowing when someone is being sarcastic to you, knowing when someone is just at the brink of boiling over, knowing when someone is just sort of a little off and they're just not connected to the reality. And you would be an expert on that. Appearance, we're in the hallway, we're in the emergency room and a person is being triaged, a cancer patient. And I saw a patient Friday in the clinic and just looked at his face, and I knew he was done. I knew he needed to get admitted. I knew he needed hydration, and I knew he needed some sleep and pain medication. He didn't say a word. I looked at him. All I had to see is look at him. And had I been sort of deaf, dumb, and blind to what was all the nonverbal cues I was seeing, he could have very easily gotten angry, because it was us that was causing his situation. And I could have very easily seen him starting, you know, to go off on us, you know, because we were the ones that were creating the situation. But I looked at him. All I had to do was look at him, and that's all I needed. Sometimes you see a facial expression, you look at an appearance of the patient, the tone of their voice. Are they making eye contact with you? A lot of times before an explosion, people will avoid looking at you in the eye because they're sort of preparing themselves. It's almost like that pre-fight fight. You're sort of strategizing how you're going to attack that person in front of you, and you don't want to make eye contact. And also the gesturing. Sometimes there's a lot of animation going on, and a person is just very not feeling safe, not feeling in control, not feeling, you know, connected. And the postures and their body language, they could be closed off. They could be, you know, kind of in the fetal position. You could kind of know what's going on. And if you see any of these telltale signs, then you know that you have a job in front of you to try to mitigate, or as Angel said, to try to head off this explosion. The second step to de-escalating before you reach a code gray is the thing that I struggle with on a day-to-day basis. And we talk about it in many of the podcasts. We can't let ourselves get caught, making it about us. Our self-management and transference management, and we talked about transference. So for example, transference is the redirection away from the event that's in front of you, redirecting that to a substitute. So say I had a bad experience with a father figure or whatever, and I got yelled at or got beaten as a kid or whatever. And as soon as I hear a tone of voice of someone starting to yell at me or make me feel belittle me or something, I can transfer that patient. That patient can bring me back to a point when I'm an 8-year-old kid being chased down the New Jersey boardwalk in Seaside Heights, being called names for something I didn't do. Like, I could see that happening, and all of us, you know, bring a lot of baggage to the, you know, to our practices. And it's hard for me to be able to de-escalate and to really be mindful of trying to stay in that moment, even when someone's attacking me, and not make it about me or not let it bring me back to a bad place. Angel, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I like to say that, you know, when you were giving an example of, the tone or the facial, I call them the short fuse. I've always pictured it as, you know, this almost like the Mission Impossible entrance, you know, with the match, you know, and it's, but the fuse is so short, and the reaction is so much powerful than the actual explosion. So exactly. Yeah, it's very interesting.
So as caregivers, you know, and caregivers, right, of our cancer patients, our survivors, our thrivers, we need to manage ourselves first. So, you know, they tell you on an airplane, you know, if we lose cabin pressure and there's a loss of oxygen, the oxygen will come down. Please, you know, take care of yourself first and then attend to your young children or whatever. And I think that's the first thing we have to do. When our cancer survivor thriver starts to get angry, we have to take our own pulse. We have to manage our response to them. We have to remain non-reactive. We have to remain calm. We have to have a pleasant tone. We have to refrain from starting an argument, engaging them in an argument. We have to be mindful of what our face looks like, our facial expressions, and our body language, we can't like start showing that we're angry at them being angry. Our response needs to be measured. Our words have to be measured, modulated, rhythmic, soft, confident, but not flippant, not arrogant. We don't want to make things worse. And always remember, while you're taking your own pulse, it's not about you. This situation is not about you. Even the guy I saw the other day who was, you know, needed admission for side effects that were caused by us, even though that happened, it's still not about us. It's still about the patient and how he is reacting to a normal situation that happens in the care of cancer patients. And we are the most important tool to try to de-escalate our survivor thriver's anger. We are actually that resource that could actually change things around. Our actions, our behaviors, our words, they should basically say, I am calm. I am in control. I am safe and you are safe. I am appropriate and I am respectful. And those are all the things that need to be said without being said to our patients that are beginning to go down that road of perdition, that road of anger. And when they get loud, we get quiet. Patients that are in crisis, they're very sensitive to voice, they're very sensitive to tone, and they're very sensitive to our energy level. If their high energy level is beginning to get matched by us starting to get a little agitated, they're going to feel that. We can't get agitated to their agitation. We have to become calm. And we cannot get into a power struggle. We have to manage them, minimize the situation, and strategize so things don't get problematic. And this is the only time I'm ever going to say this, either in a podcast or to anyone I know and love, never, never do the taco. Now, I love tacos, especially soft shell carnita tacos with extra hot sauce, six, please, with the cilantro and the whole thing. But in this case, we're never going to taco. So what is taco? We're never going to threaten. We're never going to argue. We're never going to challenge. We're never going to order or command. And we're never going to shame our survivor thrivers, even though they may be saying some inappropriate, angry things at you. And if we can do everything that I said, and if we could project empathy and reframe the situation, start asking questions, but mostly listen, acknowledge their pain, but don't fixate on it. You can use very loving, kind, empathetic words. I see this is hard for you. I understand what you're going through. I can see why you're so frustrated. But we don't want to increase their resistance. We want to decrease their resistance, and we want to decrease their problematic behavior. Positive framing, changing things from negative to positive, should tap into the needs and emotions of our patients and reduce the us versus them mentality, where then it becomes the us and us. We're all in this together. And Angel, as much as I hate to say it, the last option is you always have the option to bail and call my friend Angel. Remember, it's your job to stay safe yourself. Angel Santana, your thoughts on the first of three podcasts?
I really do believe that it was a great way to look at it from both sides of the room. I am sure many of the Croc Nation will have further information on this, maybe even their own insights. And I encourage all of you to reach out to us, because guess what? We will answer you. And really, I don't have a final say other than I believe that it would be awesome if we can hear back from you, the Croc Nation, and actually be able to add some of your insights and your stories to the next two additional parts that are coming up. So for that, I say write to us. And get a hold of us, because I think you could be a huge addition to this this trifecta.
Yeah, and everybody out there, I agree with Angel. I mean, you know, we're the ones that come on every week and try to give you guys the tools you need to get through and have a really great survivorship. But we can make the podcast even better if you guys participate. So, Angel, how would they reach us?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is a very easy way to do it. We are now available on every single platform. We even got TikTok. That's right. We're on TikTok, iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker. That's just to name a few. And of course, we are on YouTube. And the best way to get a hold of us is by looking up our actual website. It's www.crocvip.com. You'll see the whole homepage. There's an icon there for podcasts. In addition to that, because it's like one of those game shows. But wait, there's more. You can actually email us directly. And our email address is very simple. You can email us at we actually have a direct email now that I've been using. You know, we've been looking at from what? How long we've been on the air? We've been on the air for 3 years.
3 years, yeah.
You know, and what better way to do that than just to email us direct? And you can actually do that from the homepage. So Twitter, all of them, they go directly to Dr. E and, of course, myself, and we have the opportunity. But if you haven't subscribed to us, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, put a review, let everybody know and share it out, because the more you share, the better it is for us, the better it is for you, and it puts us on a better platform.
Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. You're always a joy, and thanks for doing some of the heavy lifting tonight. And I just wanted to take a quick minute and do our thank yous, and then we'll do our pep talk, and then we'll do our little sign off. So to our beautiful board of directors, I am so excited to have Eloise. You guys heard her last week. We introduced her to the Croc world, to the Croc Nation. What a barrel of energy. I think that she's going to make a huge difference in the world. I think she's going to make life much better for our survivor thrivers, both with her energy and her enthusiasm and her humor and her sass and her vibe and everything. She's got verve. She's got it all, intelligence. She's a very wonderful person. I look forward to working with her. To the rest of the board of directors, we always thank you for your support, for your selfless contribution to our survivor thrivers. Words are inadequate, especially this time of year. I want to take a quick minute to thank Michael Benzea and Charlotte for their belief in us and support of us, and of course our pep talk to our cancer survivors. So you guys just got told you got cancer and you're pissed off and you're angry. We get it. We understand. You should be. As a matter of fact, we probably, don't even recognize sometimes when you're angry, and shame on us. Sometimes we miss those cues that you're giving us, the nonverbal cues or even the verbal cues. And I think it's our job as the people taking care of you guys, the guys that you trust with your lives, the people, your team that you, are counting on. To live your normal life and not have your life truncated from this terrible disease. I think it's our job to not only not be alienated from you if you show anger. Not only is it our job and our absolute, our mission is to take that information and turn it around to try to help you, to get you out of crisis, to get you out of anger. Because over the next two podcasts, what we're going to hope to share with you is if we can do that successfully, if we can take every one of you brave, courageous, worthy, loved, amazing, intelligent, funny, and absolutely talented individuals and be able to help you turn anger into acceptance and acceptance into kindness, your chances of living your normal expected life is going to increase. And I can say that scientifically. So I do want to end on that note. And of course, my sign off is the same as it is every week, with my sincere and legitimate hope that you guys all live a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.